Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I sat down with conductor Alain Altinoglu when he was in town to conduct the Philadelphia Orchestra. After we talked about the concert, which featured music by Dutilleux and Mendelssohn, as well as Brahms' First Symphony, I asked him about his activities elsewhere. Since you were here last, you've become music director of La Monnaie, which is a famous opera house, but it also has, the orchestra also plays symphonies in concert.
Absolutely.
And I understand that you also are doing all four Brahms symphonies.
Yeah, actually it was 2 weeks ago, we did the four symphonies 2 weeks in a row, which means that it was quite heavy for the orchestra because Brahms symphonies, you know, you have to play for the strings, for example, very, you know, loud often. And so we did the four symphonies 2 weeks in a row, and it was a great experience to hear the symphonies one by one, because Brahms composed them in late, but there was so many years in between them. It's a great experience. Yeah, being in Brussels for me, it's something very amazing. Of course, you heard here all the problems we have in Paris and Brussels, which affect everybody. The terrorism is something so bad and so difficult for everybody. And our theater, La Monnaie Bruxelles, is closed for renovation for 1 year. And it's very interesting that we play in Molenbeek, which is supposed to be the place where the terrorists live. You know, all the terrorists came from this place. And it's a very poor era of Bruxelles. And I think it's very important that we bring classic music and opera in these places. And I want to, of course, to make much more educative projects. And 2 weeks ago, I asked two young people to come to the rehearsal, and they sat in the orchestra close to the musicians. And they were totally amazed, of course, to hear the music so close. And I hope one day we will practice, or there will be our public. And it's very important, I think.
Music can really soothe and bring people together in ways that other things can't.
When you think that in some countries where the extremist Islamist, I don't know how you say in English here, they forbid music, can you imagine that? A country where music is forbidden? I mean, but it exists. So we have to fight to make music everywhere, because it makes people, I think, happier, and also the soul better. It's very important.
Does your experience conducting the Brahms so recently inform how you do it in Philadelphia?
Oh, what happens when you are a guest conductor? Of course, you bring your own interpretation, of course. But also, you use the sound and quality and the tradition of the orchestra you conduct. So it would be a lie if I say that when I conduct Brahms in Philadelphia or Berlin, Vienna, or Bruxelles, anyway, it's exactly the same. It's not true, because there is different color, there is different thing. Here, I think, I feel the very old tradition of the orchestra. It's very interesting to see how the mixture between strings, and the strings are, how to say, very deep here, and it suits very well, I think, to Brahms. I love also the mixture between brass and woodwinds. Woodwinds who play some of them French brand. It's interesting, this transition. Yeah, it's a very musical orchestra. They know Brahms very well, and it's a great pleasure for me, because then I can feel like Rodin, like a sculpture. To, you know, you have something in your hands, and you try to, how to say in English, to modulate it, to sculpt.
Mold it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Well, it's so great to have you here. Could I ask you a few questions about yourself? You started playing piano as early as 4 or 5 years old.
Absolutely, yeah. My mother was a piano teacher, so I started to play the piano. I was 4 or 5 years old, yes.
And then when did you start conducting?
Oh, much, much later. I started conducting, I was 25, I think. Actually, when I was 16 years old, so I needed money and I had to find a job. The job I found was a vocal coach in opera. So I was playing in operas for conductors and for singers. And so then I started to work with great conductors like Boulez, Salonen, you know, these people. But also I worked with very bad conductors. And sometimes it was very frustrating, because, you know, when conductor is very bad and you play for the very bad conductor, you know, you feel even dirty when you play. And one day, after some years, I thought in my head, it was not very modest, but I thought maybe even me, I could do better, maybe. I thought like that. And then I became assistant in Paris Opera. And one day, an American conductor, Dennis Russell Davis, he didn't come to the rehearsal because his wife was giving birth in the hospital. So the director of the opera said, you have to conduct the rehearsal. What? And then I have to conduct this modern piece. Nobody knows it. And it went so well. The musicians came to me, said, oh, you know, you're gifted. You should continue. And it started like that, actually.
That's a wonderful story. Yeah. Well, now you're so busy because you have this position, music directorship.
Absolutely.
So you're doing opera, you're doing orchestral work, mm-hmm. you're touring. I understand you also play in recital with your wife.
Absolutely. I play recital with my wife, Nora Gubisch, but also play chamber music. Sometimes when I'm reinvited in orchestras, I spend a week with the orchestra, I conduct the concerts, and sometimes I play also chamber music with the musicians. I do the same in Bruxelles, actually. So yeah, it's a combination of opera, symphony concert, chamber music, recital, educative projects. And for me, it's very important educative projects. And I teach in Paris. I'm the teacher of the conducting class in the Paris Conservatoire de Paris.
So given all of these activities, I also understand that you like to play chess.
Yeah, but you imagine at what time I play chess.
Right.
But yeah, I love chess. And it's also, you know, I have Armenian roots and it's an Armenian tradition. We had, of course, Kasparov, who was this great champion. But to play chess, yeah. And I love mathematics also, so, yeah.
Well, it seems that chess, when you think about chess, well, when the layperson thinks about chess, yeah. you think about something that is very deliberative. You think five steps ahead.
Yes, of course.
So is it like conducting or is it a break from conducting?
It's totally like conducting. Conducting is only a preparation of the music. Actually, when you give an upbeat to the orchestra has to understand before playing what he has to play and how he has to play. So the conducting is only a job of anticipation. Not only, actually. So anticipation to show what you want. And then during the performance, when happens a problem, I don't know, a musician plays too late, too loud, too soft, you have immediately to react and to show what he's doing. Because sometimes musicians are not aware that, maybe they were too late. So it's also your job to show that. But usually you have to anticipate the problems. So it's like chess. And of course, when you have the experience of a piece, when you conduct Brahms 1 for, 10 times or 50 times, it's so interesting that the problems are the same at the same place with different orchestras. So you can anticipate with the experience where the problems are going to be. It's very strange. Yeah.
Wow. Well.
Yeah. So it's the job of conducting, yeah, to anticipate and then also to adapt yourself to. The first thing I teach to my students, you have a lot of conducting books, about conducting, where they explain, if you do this with your arm, the orchestra is going to sound like that. It's totally wrong. Each orchestra actually reacts a little bit differently. What is very important is in your head, you have to know what you want to hear. What is the aim? What is the sound? What is the color? What is the tempo? It's clear in your head. And then you have to adapt your gesture to the orchestra you have to obtain this. And not to come in front of an orchestra and to make this particular gesture, because each orchestra is going to react differently.
When you're conducting something like Brahms, which is not an opera, yeah. it's not informed by any explicit narrative, mm-hmm. yet it's extremely dramatic. Mm-hmm. What kind of words or images or how do you approach that?
That's why in a way opera is easier, because you have the words, you know what the singers say. When the singer sings, I love you, it's I love you. But in a symphony, it's not always clear if the phrase means I love you or something different, So you have to make your own image, your own. It depends really of the parts. But for example, for me, the beginning of the slow movement in Brahms 1 really looks like in Magic Flute, a quote of Magic Flute by Mozart, the Masonic thing. So I think about something maestoso more, this. And well, I have so many images in my head. I think it's important to know the direction of the music, because it's very easy to make a music very vertical, you say in English, very like a block, blocks and no line. Making a line is very important. Maybe not the easiest thing to do, but it's very important.
Great. Well, thank you so much for talking with us. And thanks for... it's great to have you back in Philadelphia. And I hope you get a chance to see Philadelphia, see the Rodin Museum.
Absolutely. It's in my program. The next days, I want to visit Philadelphia, which seems a beautiful city.
Thank you so
much.
Alain Altinoglu.
Absolutely. Bravo.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.